Give me a second, we'll get wired up here. Teresa said this morning when they were praying, he had to turn on the speaker before he could pray. And there was another little child in that class that had to hang up the phone before she could pray, but I won't say who that was. Good to see everyone tonight. We appreciate that you are here and that we do have an opportunity to be together and worshiping God and turning our attention to His Word. And Tyler's right, the lesson that we've planned, we got it working, by the way, thankfully, is a lesson that is familiar to many, but there's some who are here in the audience, I'm pretty confident, that are not as familiar with it, and it's important that we continue to remind ourselves of those things of which we are assured, on the one hand, and also instruct those who are yet in the process of learning particular things, and we're all in that stage, so we hope that our study tonight will be useful. I've chosen to come back and do some teaching on this because I know some of you have been engaged in some Bible study with folks who have trouble understanding the difference between an aid and an addition, and applications are made to the use of instrumental music in worship. I think I've had some discussions of late about church building, and some are of the notion that, well, if we just didn't have church buildings, we wouldn't have any division in the church. Well, that's simply not the case. That misunderstands and fails to understand what the building is and what it's not, and why we have it, and the authority by which we do have one. And by the way, we do have authority for it, and we'll be speaking to that as we go on through our study tonight. But we want to remember remind ourselves that God has revealed a pattern for us, a pattern in all things that pertain to life and godliness in the broadest sense. He revealed a pattern to Moses to build the tabernacle according to all things that He'd showed him in the mountain. And Hebrews 8 and verse 5 says, if you've not taken time in a while to go back and read Exodus 25 through 40, you ought to do that. If you think you need to remind yourself or be impressed with how important patterns were to God. In the Old Testament, He had very exacting patterns of the measurements and the materials to make the various pieces of furniture for the tabernacle and their dimensions and also for the tabernacle itself. Not to mention all the sacrifices, the animals, what their purposes were for, when they were to be done, how they were to be done, what parts were to be eaten, what parts were not to be eaten and burned. And so the Old Testament is full of patterns. And we wonder, well, we say, well, that doesn't matter to us. We're not under the Old Testament. Now, wait a minute. He said He used that very concept to teach us about the priesthood of Jesus in Hebrews 8. That there's a pattern to follow. And if Jesus violated that pattern, He couldn't be a priest on earth. He couldn't be a priest at all. He's our high priest under the new covenant. So the concept of patterns is brought to the New Testament. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 13, hold fast the pattern, the model of sound words, which you heard from me, the apostle says, in faith and in love which are in Christ Jesus. So God has revealed a pattern. He's revealed it through sound, wholesome, healthy, proper words. And they conform to faith and love that's in Jesus Christ. And so as we think about God's pattern, Bible authority is another way we often speak of it, doing all in the name of the Lord, as we just sang, Colossians 3 and verse 17. Let's remember there's two types of authority revealed in the Scripture. There is general authority and there's specific authority. Just like, let's say, the blueprints of a house. A blueprint is a pattern to follow, and it gives the dimensions, it gives some very specific things. Now, generally, it's just build a house or build a structure, but specifically, it gives very exclusive an exclusive pattern of what to follow. When something's generic, then that would include everything that would be needed to build a house. But when you get specific, that blueprint says, you know, put the electrical outlets here and put the light fixtures up here and make this room 10 by 15 and this one over here this patio, 8x12, and very exacting patterns. But if you just said build a house, well, you could do it any way you wanted. But you see, that's the difference between general and specific, generic and specific authority. Go with me to Mark chapter 16, please, and verse 15. Because we're not building our case upon an earthly illustration. We're going to show you in the Word of God what we're talking about. In Mark 16 and verse 15, Jesus said to His apostles, "Go and preach the gospel. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, to the whole creation." So, He said, go. There's a commandment. Go. Well, go where? Well, go is generic. But He said, go into all the world. So all the world. Go how? Well, He doesn't specify how to go. So we have choices. When things are general, left in a general context of authority or commandment, we're at liberty to make some choices. Go by foot. Go by mule. Go by chariot. Go by ship. Go by airplane. By automobile. By train. You see? Go by the internet. Go. But now He says, teach the gospel. Go and preach. He says, go preach the gospel to every creature. Well now, if He had just said, go preach, we could preach politics, we could preach any topic we choose. But He specified the topic. Preach the gospel. So go is general. And we have choices how we want to go. But what we preach is specific. We preach the gospel. Our message is specific. And we can't add another message to that without adding to God's Word. You see, the airplane aids us. The automobile aids us in going. And when we get there, we're specifically supposed to preach the gospel. Now, if we can understand that, then we understand generic and specific authority, and we're going to be able to understand the difference between aids and additions. The car, the ship, the train aids us in obeying the commandment to go. When I add politics to gospel, I've added. I've made an addition. Simple as that. The Word of God expects us to follow the pattern and not add to the pattern God has revealed to us, whether it is in this particular application or really our whole lives. See, because God has revealed all things that pertain to life and godliness through a knowledge of Him who called us by His glory and virtue. The Scriptures provide the pattern for our daily living. These are concepts that we can apply every day to our lives. We ought to be. Because every day we're supposed to be living under the authority of Jesus. So we need to know when we have choices and when we don't. You see, general authority includes choices that relate to the commandment that is given. Specific authority excludes choices, telling us exactly what is wanted. Let's illustrate that on the chart here. God said, no, build an ark with gopher wood. See, if generic would say, Noah, build. And you can choose what to build. But God was specific. He said, build an ark. And more than that, He specified what kind of wood He wanted built. He wanted the ark was the structure, and the material was to be gopher wood. Genesis 6 and verse 14. And if Jesus had just said, every first day of the week, I want you to eat together. We could choose hamburgers one week, hot dogs, and steak the next. But see, He specified, didn't He? Not only when, on the first day of the week, the disciples came together to break bread, but He specified what to eat. In Luke 22, verse 1 and verse 18, during the Passover meal, during the week feast of unleavened bread, they ate bread, which is unleavened, and the fruit of the vine. So the elements became specified. And so that's what we commit ourselves to doing. Again, the Lord's Supper, what's its purpose? If He said, okay, take that bread, take that fruit of the vine and eat it. And if He hadn't said anything else, then we could eat it for whatever reason we wanted. But Jesus was specific. He said, do this in remembrance of me.
Luke 22 and verse 19.
So now when we eat the fruit of the vine, eat the bread and the fruit of the vine, we are specifically supposed to be eating them in memory. Remembering Jesus. Remembering His sacrifice, the giving of His body, the shedding of His blood for the sins of the world. God had just said, baptize people. We could do it however we wanted. But, of course, the word itself means to dip, to plunge, to immerse, baptizo. It's a burial. And He described it to be as many of you as were buried, you were buried together with Him through baptism into death, Romans 6:4 says. Buried with Him through baptism into death. So that's a burial. Buried with Christ in baptism, Colossians 2 and 12. So He specifies in the use of the word itself and the action that is portrayed in it, that baptism is a burial. You go down into the water and people are baptized in that water. Well, let's go to making melody. God had just said, make melody to me. Then we could make melody however we wanted. You see, that would have been generic, general. But God said, in the pattern that He revealed in the New Covenant, well, I think about 10 verses in the New Testament where music is offered in praise and worship to God, and every single time it's seen, Jesus and His disciples sang a hymn after He instituted the Lord's Supper, after they ate the Passover meal, before they went to the Mount of Olives. They sang a hymn and prayed. In Ephesians 5 and Colossians 3, we're told that we're to speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. So we make melody in our heart to the Lord. We sing. Our instrument that we play, that we pluck, solo, make melody means, it is the Greek word solo. It means to pluck or to twang. And we're to, you know, some say, well, that means that there's an instrument involved. We can play an instrument. Wait now, he tells us the instrument, doesn't he? He says, sing and make melody with your heart to the Lord. Play the strings of your heart. Make melody in singing, speaking to one another, teaching and admonishing, Colossians 3 and verse 16. So you see, when God specifies the music, you see, we don't have a choice anymore. We either do what He said and the way He said it, or we sin. We leave it out, we sin. If we add to it, we sin. The Bible says, you know, if God had just said, I want elders in every church, and left it at that, then they would have had carte blanche to be whoever God said, however God said. But He said, yes, in every church they're appointed, Acts 14:23. But He said, their work is to feed the flock of God that is among you. So elders aren't over several churches, they're in one church. You see, God specified their area of work and the work they're to do in the local church, feeding the flock. Because God specified that, when elders, if they were to try to oversee another church, another flock, then that would be outside the bounds of their authority. They would be changing what God said. Now, general and specific authority. The point we then come to with aids is that an aid is that which provides an advantage. The word is used in John 16:7. Jesus said, it is to your advantage that I go away. Some versions may use the word expedient, but it's that word, and it's used in the New Testament and other places, translated with that, by that word. Jesus said, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. If I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I'll send Him to you. So it is, an aid is that which it gives an advantage or expedites. It's an expedient to accomplish a particular purpose. Here, what was the purpose? Well, the purpose was to send the Helper, to send the Holy Spirit. He says, I have to go. It's helpful. It's expedient for you. It's aidful
to you. It's an aid to you.
Then I go, because then I'll send the Spirit to you. And aid helps carry out that which is profitable. It helps assist in accomplishing the will of God. That's what an aid does.
It helps us do what God has said to do. It is
an expedient. An aid. Now let me illustrate the point. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 12.
Or before we illustrate the point, let me make a state of, let's learn a principle about an aid here. The two fundamental principles about an aid, and this is one of the verses, and chapter 10 gives us the other. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. Now there's our word. Same word as in John 16, 7. All things are lawful, but not all things are advantageous or expedient. Some versions translate with that word. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. So, first principle in understanding an aid, or what is expedient, is it has to be lawful. It has to be approved before God. If it's not approved before God, then it can't be helpful in any good way. It can't help us to do God's will if it's a violation of God's will. That should seem axiomatic, but Paul emphasizes and makes that point in the verse. Now in chapter 10, in verse 23, he says the same thing, but he adds to it. He says, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. That is, not all things are expedient. And he's talking about using judgment in lawful matters. He says, not all things are lawful. He says, all things are lawful for me, but not all things edify. Here's the two principles about aids. They must be lawful and they must edify. If they fail on either count, it's not an aid. It's not an expedient. It's something else. Okay? You see, the commandment that we're under in that context, he says we're commanded whether we eat or drink to give glory to God. Now, he's been talking about eating meats that have been sacrificed to idols and people having conscientious differences about eating or not eating meat. And as he sums this up, he says in 31, whatever you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. So if what we eat or what we drink doesn't glorify God, then that's a sin, isn't it? He's not just saying you can drink anything you want or eat anything you want. No, he says you're under obligation to give glory to God. So when you eat and when you drink, don't become a stumbling block. Give no offense, either to the Jews, the Greeks, or to the church of God. Just as I also please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of the many, that they may be saved. Seeking the advantage, the profit, the benefit of others. Remember, it's lawful to eat the meat, but sometimes Paul would not eat the meat because it wouldn't be helpful, because it would not expedite the salvation of others, the strengthening of others. In fact, if he were to do what was lawful on some occasions, he would become an offense because he would draw them into violating their conscience, sinning against God. And so he said, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to be careful that something's lawful, but I'm going to be careful to use it in a way that is helpful, that is expedient, that accomplishes God's purpose. And God's purpose is His glory and building others up, not tearing them down. So you see, it was lawful to eat meat, but not always helpful to eat the meat. Because there were occasions when someone would say, well, that's offered to an idol. And their weak conscience could be drawn into sinning. And so Paul says, I won't eat under that circumstance. I won't use the liberty. Although I have the right, I won't use it. I'll withdraw it because it won't be expedient. It won't be helpful. It won't be an aid any longer. That's what an aid is. It helps us obey God's revealed will. It's got to be lawful, and it will help us do what God has commanded. That's an aid. An aid does not change the force of the effect of the authorized action. In other words, when God says, again, go, you can
go on a train, go on a plane, go on a car, it doesn't change the effect of the commanded action, which is go. You see, it becomes incidental. It's non-essential. The A may be helpful, but it's not required. It may be useful, but it's not mandatory. By its very definition, it's lawful, and so it's helpful under certain circumstances, as Paul discussed there in 1 Corinthians 10:23 and following. And God gives us the right to use our judgment in the use of aids to accomplish His commanded will. Noah's tools did not change the fact that he was building an ark. You see, they were, you might say, non-essential. Well, he had to do something. He could have used his bare hands, but that probably wouldn't have worked very well. He needed something, some tools, but they were incidental to doing God's will, weren't they? As they helped him accomplish it in a good way. But God didn't specify the tools to use. He was at liberty to choose. You see, we use trays and cups to eat the Lord's Supper. Those are not mandatory. We've got to have some way to distribute the drink. Some way to make that, because Jesus took it, blessed it, and gave it to them. But there's any variety of ways to do that. We could have one container. We could have half a dozen. We could send one down this side, one down that side, and have four. But we choose to have individual ones. We have two trays. We could have one. I suppose we could just hand it off to each other, I suppose, if we want to do that. But we choose it's probably more helpful, useful, to use some trays to do that. Those are aids. They're not required. What's required is that we distribute the fruit of the vine and we distribute the bread. See that? That's what's required. The trays help us do that. That's an aid. The songbooks. We don't have to have songbooks to sing. Now, we're required to sing, but we don't have to have songbooks to do that. We could memorize all the songs. If all of them went up in smoke, we could still sing. We might be limited because we might not know all the songs. You see, they're an aid. They help us sing. But they're not required. What's required is that we speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in our hearts to the Lord. What's required is that we take the bread and remember His body. We eat the drink the cup and remember His blood. See, the requirement is build the ark, and the aids help accomplish obeying the commandments. And this is what we've just described in that previous point. So you see, the addition comes when I add another kind of wood, or I add another kind of structure. When the tools aren't an addition, they help build the ark. But when I add oak or spruce, now I've added a wood that God was silent on. God didn't have any, I don't have any authority. Noah didn't have any authority, I should say, to add another kind of wood. Because God said, go for it. He specified the kind of wood. You see, on the first day of the week, we have a set hour on the first day of the week. We can meet at 3 p.m. We can meet at 8 p.m. We can meet at 6 a.m. First day of the week, satisfy. And eat the supper. The building, by the way, is made to help us do that. Could put building on that chart. You see, and here's the point. We have the building to aid us to assemble, to do the work God wants us to do together. And one of the things He's commanded us to do together is worship. And part of that worship is eating the Lord's Supper, and singing, and praying, and giving, and learning, hearing His Word taught to us. And so He specified the first day of the week upon which that's to occur, and He's told us the elements. You see, the building, we don't have to have a building, we don't have to have containers. You know, we do have to schedule some time to meet on the first day of the week, but it can be up to our choice. We choose when we want to meet. You see? That's because we have some leeway when it comes to aids, but if we choose Monday, we've added another day.
We choose cookies and Coke. We change the emblems that God has specified. That's the difference between an aid and an addition. Everybody with us?
That's not too hard to figure out, is it?
Pretty easy, right? Do it in remembrance of me. So we have a place. We have a building. You see, it could be a tent. It could be a field. It could be a house. You see, these are immaterial. The aids are immaterial. What's material is that we eat in remembrance of the Lord. We have some choice over here. But you see, we can't add another kind of eating and drinking. And that's what a lot of churches of Christ have done. They've added another kind of eating and drinking. What? Don't you have houses to eat and to drink in? He wasn't talking about the Lord's Supper. He's talking about food for the stomach. He said, if any man is hungry, let him eat at home. You see, the problem that they had was the corruption of the Lord's Supper by common meals and their divisions within among themselves. And his solution was, meet for the right reason. And eat the supper in the right manner. But if you're hungry, eat at home. You don't add another reason for eating, another kind of eating and drinking to what the Lord's authorized. Now, why can't brethren see that just as simply as they can see adding wood to the ark? Why can't they? Because they want to do this. I don't know why else. They want to do this. And so they say, oh, it doesn't really matter. Yes, it matters. It's an addition, another purpose. And we don't have a right to add to what God has specified, you see? Baptism. We can use a baptistry, a pool, a lake, a puddle. Any place there's enough water to put somebody under it, we can baptize somebody. Because it's immersion, it's a burial. But you see, we start sprinkling and pouring, we've added another action. We've added to what God said. We've changed the action. We've corrupted the Word of God. We perverted the gospel that was preached. That's why we read Galatians 1, 6 through 10. When we pervert the gospel, we pervert God's grace. We're not in it anymore. We're not saved by grace when we add to the will of God. See that? It bears upon our salvation. Because God has a pattern He wants us to follow. We have no right to change what He wants. Well, come to the scene. You see again the point. Songbooks, pitch pipes, those are aids. We add the instrument, we've added another kind of music. That's why it's sinful. We have no authority. Just show a verse where we can play and sing, and we'll do it. But you see, that's an addition to what God has said. Elders? You see, elders, as they feed the flock and oversee us, they may use such aids as a business meeting or all the group getting together for a meeting with the elders leading it, taking information from us. For example, all those are aids, all those are at their discretion. But you see, if you start setting up an elders conference or a sponsoring church, then you set up another kind of organizational oversight that goes beyond the individual church and its own elders. Added organizational structure to what God has specified. And that's an addition. Bible aids involve choices. We can choose. We don't have to use the pitch pipe, but we must sing. We don't have to use the PowerPoint, but we must preach the gospel. We don't have to have a pulpit. We need to preach. Some churches have decided they're not going to. You know what they do? They remove the pulpit and they bring a couple of chairs up here and they have a conversation. Yeah. I just don't. That's just not Bible preaching. If you want to have a conversation, have a Bible class, have a discussion, have a dialogue. But preach, it means to proclaim. But you don't have to have a pulpit to do that. We don't have to have a loudspeaker. But all those are aids. They help us. They help expedite us fulfilling the Lord's commandments. We don't have to print a bulletin, but it's a teaching tool. We don't have to use class material, but we choose to have to use that as aids to build us up spiritually to learn and understand the Word of God. Aids are left unspecified.
and we have judgment in applying them as to whether or not they're expedient or not. Now, let's make applications of the work of the church. If God had just, and we already made this point, if God just said preach, we'd preach whatever we want, but God specified the gospel, didn't he? And so we can use all of these aids that we've already discussed. God tells us one of the works of the church is to edify us spiritually. Build us up spiritually. Now, if he just said edify each other, then we could have bodybuilding classes. We're gonna edify the body. We're gonna meet every morning at 6:30 a.m. We're gonna do calisthenics. We're gonna do running and all that. We're gonna build up our bodies. But that's not the kind of exercise he's told us to be involved in. He said, "Build us up. Build yourself up spiritually. Build yourself up with the Word of God, which is able to build you up." Acts 20:32, and give you an inheritance. When you come together in one place as a church, he said, let all things be done for edification. Now, we use classes to do that. We have a bulletin. We have a website. We have study material. We preach. We have the classes. All of these are tools, aids to accomplish our spiritual edification. Now, we also have the work to relieve the needy. But if he had just said relieve the needy, we could help anybody. And we wrote some of this in the back page article. You see, the pattern in the New Testament is churches relieve Christians. Christians can relieve anybody they have opportunity to, but local churches, the pattern is always helping needy Christians. That's not what we didn't like, not because we don't like other people, but that's the work he gave the local church, is to help other Christians. We give our money to help preach, to edify, and relieve needy saints. That's the New Testament pattern. We can do that by sending the relief to them, or we might purchase the relief. We might gather the material and send it directly to another church, as in Acts 11. We could buy the goods and send it to them. We can deliver it by courier. We can deliver it by mail. But you see, there are different ways of delivery, but we're helping needy saints. As the church sends to the church, and their elders distributed to the needy that was among them. That's the pattern in the New Testament.
Those are all... That's understanding between aids and then what God has specifically wanted us to do. Now, let's talk about additions for a minute.
In contrast to an aid, an addition is putting something or joining something to something else. You got something and you add something to it. All right?
In Matthew 6:27, the idea is illustrated. Matthew 6 and verse 27, Jesus said, "Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature?"
Adding. How can any of us add 18 inches?
That's about a cubit. To how tall we are just by worrying about it.
We're this tall, I'm going to add some more to it. Actually, we know what adding means. An addition changes the force and effect of the authorized action. You see, if Noah were to add a raft to the ark, he would be changing what God said. We'd be changing the force of the commandment. God said, build an ark. Noah said, I'm going to build an ark and I'm going to build a raft too. That changes what God has said. It adds to what God said. If we add pouring, sprinkling, if we change the force of immersion, if we add playing, that adds to the singing. And it changes the force of what God said. An addition will change the force of the commandment. You see, when God said go, and I go by train, I'm just going. I'm traveling and going to preach the gospel. But you see, when I go and preach the gospel, and I'm going to preach the gospel, and I'm also going to preach politics, then I've added... I've changed the force of what God said do. I have. I've added something of my own wisdom rather than the wisdom of God. Let's make the applications here.
of preaching. You see, just as I illustrated that. See, preaching politics is not an aid to preaching the gospel. By the way, let's make this application. Medical missions, when we preach, come and let all you little children in the village, we'll give you immunizations. And this is the medical mission of the Church of Christ. They do this. Churches send their medical missions and they immunize people from time to time in places. And they say, that helps us teach the gospel. Or we're going to teach English. And that's going to be our opening to teach people the gospel. What have we done? We've changed the force of go preach the gospel. Now we're going to preach the gospel and teach English. Or give shots, give medical attention, or preach politics. We change the message and the action that God commanded. That's an addition. That's what additions do. You see, if we add social activities and say, well, we're going to have a potluck and that's going to edify the body. Remember, and that's just helping, that's just an aid, don't you know? That just aids in us getting together and having and knowing each other and sharing together. How could that be wrong? Well, it can be wrong because God said we'd be spiritually built up. Where's the Bible that teaches social activities equals edification? See, that's an addition. That's another kind of program, another kind of work. From the spiritual work of building us up in the faith with the Word of God. That's why we have, see, without authority, we've changed the force of the commandment. We've redefined, we've misapplied, and we've sinned against God. We've acted without Bible authority. The work of relieving the needy, Christians. You see, when we add everyone to that list, we've added another kind of recipient. The pattern in the New Testament, and we're to hold fast the pattern of sound words, 2 Timothy 1:13, the pattern is to Christians for their relief from the church's treasury. From our gathered funds to Christians. When we add it to non-Christians, we've changed the recipient. On our authority, not on God's, on our own. That's an addition. That's sinful. That's going where God has not spoken. That's not doing all things by His name, in His name, by His will. Does it matter? Yeah, it matters because it matters whether we're going to follow the pattern of God or not. You see, preach. Let's move the chart a little bit over now. God gave us this specific work of preaching the gospel. Preach the gospel. And He specified the organization, the local church. He gave us elders to oversee that work of preaching and deacons to serve in the preaching of the gospel. And every one of us, active members in spreading His word. We see that in the New Testament. The pattern there of elders in every church. The elders and deacons and the saints, Philippians 1:1. Qualified men, overseers, accomplishing this work together in a local church, preaching the gospel. And we could use radio, we can use television, internet, printed material, pulpit, all of these, variety of those and more. We can use aids to accomplish that work. But you see, when we add a missionary society, a sponsoring church, a herald of truth, then we have changed the organization. We've said local church plus a missionary society. That's why it was rejected in the 19th century, because it added another organization to God's organization. But then in the 20th century, men added, elevated one church above other churches to do the same thing. And that's just as wrong. Just as without authority. Herald of Truth gave an illustration of that from the Highland Church in Abilene, Texas. Well, the local church is sufficient to do the work God gave it to do in preaching, in edification, and relieving needy saints. Without adding another organization for the church to support, whether it's colleges, whether it's sponsoring churches, whether it's medical missions of other churches. You see, the local church is sufficient to do the work God wants the church, the local church, to accomplish without adding those things to it. You see, we have no authority to add a Sunday school board or a university Bible chair. You know that? Churches that are in university towns, they kind of they get on campus and they set up a university Bible chair. You know, they have somebody from the church. They'll have a little organization on campus.
Not just Christians going on campus and having Bible studies, but no, that's where
the Christians on campus can meet. And they can lounge around. They can be with each other. And all that's under the authority of the elders of the local church. I don't know. Can you have a Starbucks Bible chair? I prefer it to be there. Let the elders oversee that. You know,
if God specified the local church and we add an organization to accomplish edification, then we've just usurped the authority of the local church. We've added to what God says. Same way with believing these saints. We add a children's home, an orphanage. We add a medical mission. We add these additional organizations. These are not aids. They're additions. They don't aid the local church in relieving needy saints. They say, we need this organization that then gives the aid. And that's an addition. Because he says, this organization, local church, can do the aid to relieve the needy. Not by establishing something else, by the wisdom and will of men. You see, additions are forbidden. Whoever goes onward and abides not in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. If it's not in the Bible, if that organization, it
cannot be found. It's an addition to what God has said. We can't go beyond it
without bringing God's condemnation. Galatians 1, Revelation 22. Galatians 1:6. I marvel at you so quickly removing from him who called you in the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another.
It's not one of the same kind. It's a different gospel. When we add to the Word of God, it's a different gospel. It's not the same. You say, well, let's end this where we started. Oh, where is your authority for the building? Because God has commanded us to come together for various activities, to assemble ourselves together. And necessarily included in that, we've got to have some place. We don't have to have a building. You see, the building is not germane to obeying the commandment. He has commanded us to assemble, to eat the Lord's Supper, to sing together, to study together, to pray together, to give together. To have that capacity of organization overseen by our elders and working together in this collective group. Acts shows that. 1 Corinthians 11, other verses show that. We don't have to have a building. See, it's an aid to accomplish what is required. But when we add another work, we're going to have to first find out if it's lawful. Can we add a kitchen? Well, is it a lawful work of the local church to cook meals for the brethren? Is that the work God gave the local church? Can we build a gymnasium? Put up the basketball courts? Is it the work of the local church to provide social activities? Does that aid or does that add? Does the kitchen aid or add? Again, if we can understand Noah building an ark out of gopher wood, we can understand that when we add another work, we're just as wrong as if Noah added a raft or added oak or spruce. Those didn't aid. Those were additions.
And this is the call of the gospel, is to be content with God's pattern. To know the difference between an aid and an addition.
An aid does not change the force of the commandment. It is lawful by its very nature. We can choose it or not. And an aid must be edified. It must build up, not cause someone to sin in God's sight. If we'll observe that, then we can choose aids that expedite obeying God's commandments. And we can also be careful not to add to what God has approved. Hope study is helpful to you as you study and as you teach others. And I'm happy to clarify anything if we need to as well on the particular subject. If you're not a Christian tonight, we simply want to remind you that it's important that you conform your heart and your life to the pattern that God has revealed on how to be saved. If you'll believe that Jesus is the Son of God, then act on that faith to repent of your sins against God, to confess your faith that Jesus is the Son of God, and to be baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins. That's the Bible pattern. And the assurances God will save you and add you to His church. I urge you to obey the gospel and be saved if that's your need. And as God's people, as a Christian, if there's sin in your life, we urge you to repent, pray to God for forgiveness. And if it's public, use this opportunity to set that right. If you need our prayers, we stand ready to do that. I urge you to respond to God's call while we stand and sing.
Have thine affections been given to the cross.